The future of hundreds of thousands of DACA recipients rests in the hands of a federal appeals court that is expected to rule soon, potentially ending the program altogether. It was created under the Obama administration after the DREAM Act failed and gave some undocumented people who were brought to the U.S. as children protection from deportation and a work permit. Some 800,000 young people were enrolled at the height of the program. But many more never even had the option. And now, as they await the court decision that could change their lives in an instant, they are banding together to advocate and reflect. And our own Alisa Resnick has been reporting on their stories in this pivotal moment for Dreamers, and she joins us now with more. Good morning, Alisa.
Morning, Lauren.
So I want to begin with a quick background here on the court case and what is about to be decided. Could this really be the end of the road for DACA?
Yeah, this is a court decision that's before the Fifth Circuit right now. And it stems from a case that started in Texas and includes other states as well. Last year, Judge Andrew Hannon in Texas ruled the program had been created unlawfully and blocked first-time applicants. That kind of stopped some first-time applicants really in their tracks, even those who are currently being processed by Citizenship and Immigration Services. The Fifth Circuit heard oral arguments earlier this year, and now those judges are expected to rule really any day now. If the judges side with the lower court, they could rule to end the program. Now, this ruling, of course, whatever it is, could be appealed, and DACA could get to the Supreme Court again. But it really has a lot of people worried right now.
So this has, as we said, left a lot of DACA recipients sort of in a tenuous position. They're waiting. I know you've been spending a lot of time with some of them here in Arizona as they await this decision. What's the community doing to prepare? What's the mood?
Yeah. Well, like we said, there's not much to do but wait at this point. But people, like I said, are worried. I spoke with one recipient. He's been a DACA recipient since 2012 when the program first started. And he said this makes him feel like he's back in 2007. That's when he first started advocating for himself and other undocumented people here in Arizona. And there was a lot of fear back then because everyone was undocumented. There's a lot of speculation that things won't go well in the Fifth Circuit for DACA. And that it has led to a lot of speculation about what's next for people's protection from deportation and also for people's work permits. One estimate from the advocacy group Forward.us found if DACA is rescinded, the U.S. could lose 1,000 jobs per business day over the next few years. That would be as DACA recipients lose their work authorization. So this is also an economic question to consider. DACA recipients are doctors and teachers and, you know, take part in a lot of different roles here.
Yeah. So DACA has protected, as we said, hundreds of thousands of young undocumented people here for a long time. But you are also reporting on another group of undocumented youth here who are sort of advocating for their rights as well right now. And these are those who never were able to qualify for DACA because of various reasons. Tell us about them.
Yeah. Well, that's right. First, there's a distinction that, you know, I think a lot of people forget. The term Dreamers actually refers more to people who might have qualified for the DREAM Act about 20 years ago. That's the legislative solution proposed by Congress that could have given many people a pathway to citizenship. And again, that's not what DACA offers. DACA is a temporary solution. It's a much larger group of people that DACA currently covers than what DACA currently covers. Mm-hmm. But the term Dreamers is, of course, not always described that way. Most people hear the word Dreamer and they think DACA recipient. In reality, most young people today don't actually qualify for the program.
Most people? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So most people, meaning most young people, again, Forward.us had a report out earlier this year that found out of an estimated 100,000 high school graduates who were undocumented around the country this year, three quarters did not qualify for DACA. And that's because while the program has provided protection for a lot of people, it has some pretty stringent eligibility requirements. First, you have to be 15 to apply. You can't have a criminal record, but you also must have been continuously in the country since June 15th, 2007. That's really the requirement that's got a lot of especially young people now left totally ineligible. I spoke with a student named Angel Palazuelos in my story. He's at ASU, graduated from high school in Phoenix in 2020, and he's undocumented. His family arrived in Arizona 3 days past that deadline. I spoke with another person who arrived a year later. So it's an arbitrary cutoff, really, but it's meant the difference between having protection with DACA and a work permit and not. And, you know, that has really led to a lot of big distinctions. Angel told me, you know, growing up, he was working landscaping jobs or cutting hair while his, you know, friends were working at McDonald's or Starbucks or other places. And in fact, his older brother just recently graduated from ASU with a degree in mechanical engineering, but he's having a really hard time using it because he doesn't have a work permit that would be tied to DACA.
So what's next for this community, for DACA recipients as well? How are they coping?
Sure. So, you know, of course, DACA coming to an end is a scary prospect for a lot of people, not just here in Arizona, but around the country. And it, you know, Angel told me that it's really mobilized a lot of people, both undocumented and DACA recipients, to come together and push yet again for a congressional solution, something like the DREAM Act. Angel and other undocumented people, other DACA recipients, have been going to Mark Kelly's office in Phoenix every week to deliver letters from dreamers like themselves and other people asking for Congress to yet again push for that solution. He told me that, you know, while DACA has provided protection, he has a lot of friends who have protection from DACA. The prospect of it coming to an end, he's hoping, could lead to more of an urgency from Congress. And it also has led to an urgency within the community to just kind of have their voices heard and make sure that that is the message that they're getting out there.
Yeah. All right. KJZZ's Alisa Resnick joining us from our Fronteras desk in Tucson. Alisa, thanks for your reporting on this. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, Lauren.
And now let's turn to one of the dreamers here in Arizona who's waiting for this decision and worrying about his future. Mario Montoya is a recent ASU grad and a DACA recipient. He works for immigrant advocacy group Aliento. And he told me there's no good way to prepare yourself for having your entire life upended. I spoke with him more about his story and how he feels facing this moment.
I first came here to the state of Arizona and the United States right around the age I was 5. So it's pretty much the place that I considered home. Mostly what I remember growing up is here in the United States, specifically here in Mesa, Arizona, is where my parents got their first house.
5 years old. So were you a kindergartner, essentially?
Yeah, I was in kindergarten, pretty much. I went to school, elementary here in Arizona. My elementary was Franklin, then went to the Franklin Junior High, then went to Red Mountain High School in Mesa as well, and recently graduated from Arizona State University.
Tell us about your sort of immigration journey here. I mean, when did you apply for DACA? When did you realize you were eligible?
I was just turning 15, I believe, in 2012 when Obama was letting us know that this DACA program was going to become available for us. So as soon as I was able to apply, I was one of the first peoples that applied. So I've had it ever since. I wasn't really quite sure what it meant to me at that time as a high schooler, as a 15-year-old boy. But what I associated it with at that time was like, hey, I'll be able to have a driver's license and utilize that to park in my high school and do a lot of things that my friends also did.
Yeah. I mean, that's really interesting because you were so young. Did you always know that you were undocumented? Did that ever affect your life?
Yeah. So growing up, unfortunately, my parents always had to have that tough conversation with me of what would happen if by any chance they would get pulled over or then deported. So I remember as a young kid, my mom being in an accident and me not necessarily like knowing if she'll be coming home that day. Mm. So it's something that was always in the back of my mind. And even just going through school, I never thought college was something I would do because I knew I wasn't able to work before the DACA program. So it's something that kind of deterred me away from like, hey, like, why would I go to school if I can't use my diploma afterwards?
Huh. So it sounds like enrolling in DACA really changed your outlook, changed your life from a young age.
Yeah, it completely took me into a different path. I also have my family and friends to thank for that as well. But this program has provided opportunities for me that would not necessarily be available, like even just something as simple as being able to have a driver's license and having that mobility that my peers had and my friends that I grew up with.
Yeah. So we are in this moment of sort of waiting for this, right? The DACA program has been sort of a political football, I think it's been called many times, for a long time now, and has been through the courts for a long time as well and survived some challenges. But we're waiting for this decision that might, you know, be the end of it in many ways. What are you feeling ahead of this decision as we await it?
Yeah, well, ever since its inception, the DACA program unfortunately has been faced with numerous court challenges. I still have a lot of fear and anxiety, not necessarily knowing what's going to become of the program, because this is going to be affecting my livelihood in an enormous way. My driver's license can be taken away, as well as my work authorization, meaning I wouldn't be able to provide for myself and work as easy as I can right now. Mm-hmm. So a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety. Then comes disappointment towards Congress, like you just mentioned. It's like a football. They're just throwing it around. It's very sad that our elected officials are yet to come on, do a permanent solution to the thousands of dreamers that are currently in the United States that are working to make their community a better place. And I do get some hope from my family and friends in my community. I do see that there is support for dreamers out there, so that keeps me going. But it's a lot of mixed emotions.
Yeah. I mean, what will happen to you immediately, at least, if DACA is essentially ended? I mean, will you be able to work anymore?
I'm not still quite sure. It would be the court's decision. Mm-hmm. But from what I've been reading, the program could end right away if the court decides to do that. And that would remove my work authorization, my ability to have a driver's license, and just my security of being in the state I call home pretty much here in Arizona.
I mean, that's such a massive thing to face. I wonder if you are incredulous or if this is something you've actually been preparing for a long time in some ways.
You try to prepare as much as you can, but it's very hard to prepare for an outcome. I can't see myself like returning to Mexico. I didn't grow up there. I didn't go to school there. There's a little bit language barriers that I have. So I don't know how well you could prepare to pretty much have your whole life flipped upside down. I wouldn't know where to even go if I had to go back to my home country of Mexico. It's not what I consider home.
What are you hearing from other people in your position and maybe others who are undocumented and not able to enroll in DACA? I mean, is this something that you're trying to support each other in?
Yeah, there's always support in the community, which is good. I do have a couple of friends that I have a friend that unfortunately wasn't able to apply for DACA because they came here too late. I have another friend that was part of that group of people that got caught in between the court cases. So She was unable to apply for DACA due to the Texas court case. But I feel like the community is very jaded. It's very tiring to always have this non-permanent solutions. It's just like putting a Band-Aid over a cut. And we really need to fix this. And we need to address this issue instead of throwing it back and forth with each other, with our elected officials. We need to come together and solve this issue and have a permanent solution.
All right. Mario Montoya, DACA recipient who works with Aliento here in the Valley. Mario, thank you for joining us and telling us your story. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. You have yourself a wonderful day.